This episode is sponsored in part by Boost Commerce. Looking to boost conversion rates? Of course you are. With Boost AI Search and Filter, turning more visitors into buyers is as easy as flipping a switch. Imagine a search bar that's actually helpful, where shoppers find what they want in a snap. With Boost, you get advanced product filters so customers can sort by size, price, color, and more. Plus, AI-powered search results mean no more endless scrolling. Need to highlight your best sellers or new arrivals? Boost merchandising tools make that easy. You'll get personalized, frequently bought together, and related items recommendations to help increase cart size. And the best part? No coding required. If you need a hand, Boost support team is always there to help. New customers can use the code KURT, that's K-U-R-T, to get 30% off for their first 6 months. Valid only for first-time customers. Start your 14-day free trial today by heading to the Shopify App Store and downloading Boost AI Search and Filter. Turn browsers into buyers with smarter search. My friends, today on the Unofficial Shopify Podcast, we get to feature a wonderful brand with an incredible product, bringing American manufacturing back, and one I'm exceptionally proud of because my team helped build their Shopify theme, helped get them going on Shopify theme. And so I feel exceptional pride in their success because I know I was... the team and I were helpful in doing it with our theme services work at EtherCycle. Yes, I love podcasting while podcast host, but you know, that's not actually my day job, right, guys? Right? We do Shopify support and theme services. And so it's nice to be able to have those worlds very much cross over today. And to do that, I am joined by Montana Knife Company's Brandon Harahoe. Brandon, how you doing? Thanks for being here.
Ah, Kurt, dude, I am doing great. Absolutely great. And I'm stoked to be on the podcast because this is full circle, because I was a listener when I was trying to set up my very first Shopify website. And then, like I said, like you said in the intro, you know, we actually got to work together on my current project. And like I said, this is cool. I'm glad to riff with you for a bit.
To refer to what Montana Knife Company has become as my current project, wow, does that undersell it? This is an eight-figure brand.
It is. I mean, and this is my entire life too. Like, I don't want to undersell it either, but I mean, this is you know, this project has become something so much bigger. It started as a, you know, I had a small agency where I was just, you know, connecting Shopify with Klaviyo, and I wanted to work with, you know, honestly, American-made makers and try to help them get onto the digital platform. And, you know, that's where I met Josh, you know, and we started talking. And, you know, so it started as a project that turned into an entire life. And I always kind of, you know, I warn people, watch those side hustles, because those side hustles might turn into 80 employees, a massive mortgage, and, you know, six CNC machines downstairs. So
you have 80 employees today?
Yes. Yep. So as of this week, we just broke 80 employees.
Congrats. How long has MKC been around?
So MKC, you know, like officially has been around for 4 years. So January 1st is kind of like our jumping point, but it's been around for 4 years. But it's also, it started 30 years ago with Josh Smith, my business partner. He started making knives at the age of 11, became the youngest master bladesmith at the age of 19. Him and his mother actually had the hindsight to register the name Montana Knife Company in, I believe, like 1999 or like 2001. They registered the name, and they actually purchased the URL too. So if it wasn't for Josh and his mom, like, MKC might not actually be the brand it is today.
That is some serious foresight. Impressive. Montana Knife Company, you guys sell spoons or forks?
We prefer to sell spoons or knives that identify as spoons, if Facebook is asking.
But MKC, it's all knives, or are there other product offerings?
Yeah. So, you know, MKC, you know, it started off as, you know, a hunting knife brand. And I honestly thought, you know, this is probably one of the most wrong I've ever been in my business career of, you know, I thought, you know, we were going to set this company up and we were going to sell one knife to every person. And it was kind of going to be like the Yeti of the knife world. I couldn't have been more wrong. So now, you know, our average customer owns anywhere between three and four knives. And then you, extrapolate that over all the other branded material that we sell, you know, hats, t-shirts, cutting boards, razors, you know, and MKC is almost becoming an incubator too for other American made companies.
How so? By sourcing these other accessory items?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, one of our biggest things that, you know, that we've been doing to help like grow this brand and grow other brands is through collaborations. So, you know, we've been doing collaborations with, you know, big, you know, apparel brands. We've been doing, you know, collaborations with local, you know, companies. Like there's a razor company that sells like, you know, face shaving razors out of Bozeman. And, you know, we came up with the MKC version of that. You know, it was a high ticket item. It was a $125 razor, which is not typical. And it absolutely crushed. So, you know, it's cool to build this brand around a solid product of, you know, like we do make the best hunting knives, you know, we can plant our flag and we can say that, but then like, you know, the brand is known for its quality. So we're able to go and find other brands that kind of live the same ethos as we do and put them on a platform, do a collaboration and, you know, almost springboard them at the same time.
That must be very satisfying.
It really is. I just got off a call with our the wood shop that makes all of our cutting boards. So Culinary is probably like our second largest division in, you know, in Montana Knife Company. We sell a lot of chef knives. So because, you know, our one of our motto is first blood to last bite. So the goal is to have a knife from when you're in the hunting field the whole way down to your steak knives at your dinner, you know, at your dinner table. And we, you know, we were meeting with them. It's Montana Block Co. out of Billings. And it's just amazing to meet with them because, like, you know, we had our entire meeting forecasting how many cutting boards we're going to need for this year, plus some other fun accessory items. And they're like, they looked at us, you could tell they're almost starting to tear up because they're like, we can hire now. Like with that PO, like I can actually go out and hire, you know, a couple more people to help us, you know, in our new shop and stuff like that. And like, I have goosebumps. Like, that's what I wanted. Like, that's what I love doing. It's like, not only is our company growing, you know, we're hiring 80 people, but then we're also, you know, stimulate the economy in another town in Montana at the same time.
Yeah. You're able to, you're reinvesting in very real ways in your local economy. It's quite incredible. One of the things I think is so powerful about what you've built with Montana Knife Company is the brand itself. I mean, you have an exceptional product and it is a premium product. And then we've got, but with it is the brand storytelling. The brand storytelling is exceptional. And I think it is a big part of your success. Tell me about that narrative and its impact on your audience.
Yeah. You know, and that's like one thing we get credit about is like a lot of, you know, we get credited for having like a really good brand, a really good story. And it's more about like our ability to tell about, and then also like Josh and I are living this brand. So, you know, Josh is the CEO, I am technically the vice president or CMO. Like, so, you know, we're figuring this out in real time, you know. Josh was a lineman before this. You know, I had a small marketing agency, you know, never did I ever think be running, you know, an 8-figure business with this many employees, you know, within 3 to 4 years. So, you know, our brand and our story is honestly just like the transparency behind the scenes. Like that's the biggest thing is, you know, since day one, you know, we launched this business during the peak of COVID. Like I'm talking during lockdowns, we launched this, you know, this brand. And, you know, the first year of our brand was literally me on Instagram just complaining that, like, you know, the U.S. government and other foreign, you know, entities have gone and bought up all the tool steel, you know, that we can use to make knives. And we literally couldn't find steel in 2020 to make knives. And it even got to the point where some of our early fans and adopters were like, hey, I got this old car in the back of the yard that has some springs in it. Like, I could send you springs and I got these old saws and I got like, we're like, we appreciate it, but we need a specific type of steel that's not already like heat treated. And, you know, but like, so the first year was literally just us explaining how we're building this company, you know, being extremely fully transparent, probably almost too transparent at some points. But that's what I think, you know, people like adopted us so quick. And then, you know, it is the true underdog story because, you know, everyone told us that we couldn't do American made knives. It is at scale because it's very, very hard. And then, you know, the companies that are already doing it, you know, they've been around for, you know, some 30 years, some 60 years, you know, and some of the, you know, the real big guys, you know, they've been around for over 100 years. They have a 100-year head start on us. You know, so the deck was definitely stacked against us, but we said that, you know, we didn't really have another option than to try. And now, you know, 4 years later, you know, we're starting to, you know, rub elbows with those guys, and it's just absolutely wild.
Yeah, it is incredible. And what, you know, had someone told me, if you told me what you're trying to do and where it would go in 4 years, I would not have bet money on it. Because growing to mid eight figures in 4 years in a hyper competitive space with what is a premium product that has cheaper alternatives, and it has been zero issue. You have sold out weekly, haven't you? For what, 120 consecutive weeks?
Yeah, it's well over 100 weeks of straight drops every single Thursday night.
Tell me about this drop model. Because like during the pandemic especially, that was like peak drop model. We saw a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of fell out of favor with marketers. I still like it. Clearly, it's working for you.
Yeah, and you know, it's wild, like, because, you know, like, we'll do it, and then, like, you know, we'll sell out real quick, and, you know, and obviously the trolls hop in our comments, and like, oh, they're only selling five nines, they're building scarcity, like, all that stuff. Like, you know, Josh and I literally just signed our houses over to cover the mortgage on the next facility. Trust me, I am not holding knives back from anybody. We need all the help and support we can get, you know, for funding, you know, the next facility to help us like grow our business. So like the idea of us manufacturing scarcity is just so wild for us, because literally we're hiring at the rate of like almost like one or two people a week downstairs in the manufacturing side just to build that. But it all started, you know, 4 years ago, where, you know, Josh and I literally put the very first, you know, order of, you know, Montana Knife Company knives like on credit cards. And we, you know, so, but it, you know, back then, you know, it'd take, you know, 3 or 4 months to go through the entire process to build a couple hundred knives. And we didn't know we were going to sell the first batch. So we only ordered enough that first batch, they sold out in 14 minutes. And we're like, okay. So then we put another rush order in. So there was another, you know, it was almost another like 3 or 4 months before we had another drop. And, you know, me being a marketer, like I still needed something to talk about in those 3 to 4 months. So I never stopped marketing, and we couldn't. And the other thing too, is like, we never wanted to take pre-orders because we still were refining our process of like how to make these knives. And we never wanted to take money from somebody that we didn't know we couldn't deliver that knife. And that was the hindsight that Josh and I had on that, like, was so incredible that I'm so glad we stuck to that. Cause like everybody, every business suit that we could talk to is like, take pre-orders. You can leverage that against banknotes and do all this stuff. And we're like, no, it's not the right thing to do, because like, you know, yeah, we ordered another couple hundred knives, but we don't know if some of those are going to get messed up in the process, or we're going to sharpen it, or, you know, like there's a bunch of things that can go wrong. So we never took a pre-order, but with in between those drops, it gave me 3 months to sell these knives. So, I mean, I was posting every single day, building our email list, our text message list. And like, and then even like year, I'm talking month one or two in like 2020, you know, I started as like, okay, well, I'll start doing collabs. I went down to the local coffee roaster in Missoula. I was like, hey, like, you know, cause I had a client that did coffee, and I was like, I could sell coffees. I was like, hey, can we private label a bunch of bags of coffee? We'll do it as a local collab. And that was one of our first collabs, you know. And then I did it with, you know, one of our mutual friends, Kurt, you know, Casey Bard at Tacticalories. You know, I went to college with him. I was like, hey, can you just make a seasoning that's based around knives, and I think it's like fire salt or something like that, and we launched that. That was so we did a bunch of things to kind of just fill the space in between, you know, we had the knife launch, and then so, you know, with all the energy we were putting into it, you know, the knife, you know, we would have our second drop, and you know, they sold out even faster, 4 minutes. And then we started getting into the pace where we're like, okay, we'll start ordering, you know, mid, you know, we got some confidence in the brand and what we were doing, so we started ordering more frequently, but we still weren't betting our houses on it yet. So it took us, you know, almost a year or two to actually get to the point where we were having knives available, you know, once a month or twice a month. And then year three, you know, we started, you know, making enough knives to go every single Thursday. And then we were starting like, okay, we can start trying to put some stuff in stock. And I mean, we're 4 years in. We've been trying to put something in stock every single day for the past 2 years. We can keep stuff in stock for maybe a week on some of our older models, but they're usually gone before we can replenish them.
You know, that there's too much winning here. Have you, like, when have you had a failure? Have you ever had one of these product drops just not go as planned, just fall flat?
Just completely bust on the product drops. I mean, you know, more probably on like the apparel side, but not so far on the knife side. You know, we definitely had a couple knives that I wouldn't say they were a failure, but they were just either too close to an existing model where like the customer doesn't need two of them, where the sell through is just a little bit slower. But I can't say we've had any major, just absolute fails. We're very, very calculated. And the thing is too, is like, we know our customer base. Like that is like one thing I have to say is like, you know, we're constantly in like our Facebook, you know, secret group. We're, you know, I'm still running our social media personally myself. So I'm still posting, you know, I have help with the comments and DMs, but I'm still posting, I'm still interacting. We're still really tapped in. So for us to make bets, you know, I think we're doing pretty good so far.
Ever wake up to customers canceling orders? Maybe they said, I shouldn't shop when I'm high. This was a gift. We broke up. Those are all real customer quotes, and they're all a real hassle for your customer and you. Why should the customer have to ask you to edit their order for them? What if they could do it themselves? Enter Cleverific. With Cleverific, you can empower your customers to make their own changes through a self-service portal. Cleverific is designed to reduce customer support tickets, ship orders faster, and even reduce returns and lost packages. Don't just take our word for it. Menswear retailer Peter Manning New York cut their order support queries by 99% with Cleverific, and they're not alone. Exclusively for listeners of the Unofficial Shopify podcast, get 50% off Cleverific's Pro plan, now just $49 a month, giving you full access to everything Cleverific has to offer. Just go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use the promo code KURT50, that's KRUT50, at checkout to claim your discount. Take control with Cleverific and watch your customer support tickets plummet, shipping speeds increase, and package returns decrease. And all of that means happier customers. Tell me about your email and SMS list. It's huge. I'm guessing this is a big part of your sales success in addition to the social media channel. But tell me a little bit about your approach to having a, well, having a big ass newsletter.
Yeah. So this is, you know, this is 15 to 20 years in the making. So, you know, I've been doing email marketing since, you know, early 2010s. You know, I got into it, you know, with another very heavily advertising restricted business, which was the supplement world. So, you know, like I've never had these massive budgets and I've never had, you know, the ability to go do paid ads and stuff like that. So, you know, and I've always been like one man marketing teams for all the businesses I've worked for. So, you know, all the responsibility has been on me. And the one thing I learned is that like, you cannot mess when you mess around when you own your own data. Like that is the secret to running a successful business and being completely, you know, efficient or self-reliant on, you know, your own business versus like, you know, relying on Facebook and Meta and all the other stuff. So I got to literally, you know, almost like 15 years of making mistakes, I got to put into MKC, you know, and I got to start MKC fresh with fresh data, zero emails. It was amazing. So we built that list extremely, you know, healthy from the ground up. You know, and then, again, like I always say, like our email and text message, like that's the nail, I'm the hammer. That's my go-to. So we started building that list from the ground up, and we did it very, very slowly, but meticulously at the same time. We've never given an offer away to anybody. We've never given a discount on a knife. So if you sign up, the only way you can sign up for our email is like, hey, do you want this knife? Yes or no? and we'll email it to you when you're available. You know, so it's been at the very beginning, it was very hard to start getting those emails, but I was getting very, very hot customers who actually wanted to help support the brand. And the one thing too is like, we email very heavy, very heavy. And we have a very, 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 very small unsubscribe rate compared to other brands that I've, you know, helped grow and work for and stuff like that. And the reason why I think that is so true is because, you know, we put so much effort into our emails. So we send out at least 5 emails a week, 3 of them on Thursday. We send out 3 emails to our entire list every Thursday. But every single email has its own dedicated creative, its own dedicated photo shoot. Like it is, to me, like we put more effort into our emails than most brands put into their TV commercials.
And so those emails, like all that effort into those emails, those are what lead up to these recurring, wonderfully successful Thursday product drops, right?
Right.
Like the tip of the iceberg is the product drop. I go, yeah, you know, we always sell out, sells out instantly. But the thing everyone's not seeing is the amount of effort you're putting leading up to that is my guess.
Right. And whenever, you know, people come to me for advice, especially, you know, like marketers that are not owners of the business, you know, they come to me and they're like, hey, like, how are you growing email lists? Like, how are you doing this? Like, how's, and I explain it to them. And I tell them, like, listen, we send out all of our marketing the week before and there's zero conversion. Like, it makes people shake because like, they're so used to like basing all their stuff off of these, like, you know, these marketing metrics. When you're the marketing director and you own the company and you're spending your own money, like on things, like you're what the numbers you care about completely change. So like conversion rate, it's funny. Cause like, you know, from Sunday until that Thursday night, like we have a zero conversion rate. Our click-through rate is not that great, you know, but the second that thing hits on Thursday night, all those metrics completely change that week, you know, and obviously because you get the analytics backfill those emails. But like I said, we try to pre-market so hard that we sell through everything that we ever launch.
It's that pre-marketing. And, you know, the other thing that's counterintuitive, so many people will say, oh, I only make data-driven decisions, right? And they become obsessed with, I can only do things that some KPI agreed with at some point. And in your case, you're saying like that would talk people out of the approach you're taking because you send so many emails that a majority of the emails you send by KPI, if we're going, oh, this is data driven, you would go, well, those didn't work. And the reality is they do work, but it is part of a longer funnel, a bigger picture.
Exactly. And that's the thing too, is like you said, like you have to trust the main metrics, like the three things that I'm like absolutely obsessed with. Like these are the three numbers that like they cannot go down year over year. Is how many individual people own a Montana Knife Company knife? Like I track that metrics like almost on a daily, if not like weekly. And then the other one is you know how many people are visiting our website. And then the third is how many people are in our data pool, you know, with email and SMS. You know, like those are the three things that like you can't really fake. Like I can't manipulate my segment to have a better open rate. I can manipulate my, you know, segments to have better conversion rates. Like I could, obviously when I was in the agency world, like I could make all my numbers look amazing if I, you know, if I turn certain knobs and stuff like that. But when you're marketing like an owner, like those numbers don't really matter because you know you can manipulate them. But they're still, and don't get me wrong, I'm still looking at them. I'm still making sure they're healthy. I'm still making sure like, you know, we're not going down. We're watching our open rates. We're watching deliverability, like all that stuff. We're looking for red flags. But those three metrics, website traffic, how many people own a knife, and how big is our data pool, like those are the three things. Like if you watch those three metrics, like your business is going to be successful.
That's really good advice. And I appreciate that it's counterintuitive to what we normally hear. The other thing, you're so good at customer engagement. Like we heard about it a little bit with how the authenticity with which you approach your social media. The other thing you really do quite exceptionally well is reward your best customers. I heard you mentioned earlier a private Facebook group. I'm thinking there's a secret Facebook group. And I know you have quite incredible customer loyalty program, the VIP program. Tell me about those efforts to like just really capture and engage and know those best customers.
Right. So this all goes back to almost like day one. You know, day one, you know, obviously like Josh and I, like, you know, we've gotten so much like unsolicited marketing and business advice. And the first thing is like, you know, we got was like, hey, D2C is awesome. It's a flash in the pan. I knew that was wrong. But like, you know, just so many of the traditional people inside, especially our hunting industry, I always feel is like a little bit about 10 years behind, like I would say mass consumerism. So it's just, you know, they're like, hey, like your goal is to get into wholesale. Like you want to get into big box stores and you want to do all this, but we're like, we don't want to give up that 40 to 50% margin. So we're like, let's hold off as long as humanly possible. And, you know, and I'm watching other brands, you know, they're spending all this money taking the sales rep out to dinner or taking the sales rep on these like expensive hunts, these, you know, $50,000, $100,000 hunts. And I'm just like, we should be giving that back to our customers. So what Josh and I decided, you know, we sat down with pen and paper, we looked at our data and we're like, okay, you know, we have people that have spent, you know, $300 with us the whole way up to tens of thousands of dollars. I don't even want to mention because I don't want someone's wife finding out. So it's like, how do we reward these guys? Like how we would reward, you know, Cabela's or Bass Pro Shop for placing a $20,000 order. Like we should be giving that much back to our big customers. So we set up these tiers. And the beautiful thing is you can opt into this. And it's completely secret. No one knows the different tiers, when the different breakdowns are. It's completely, we have it under lock and key. And we want to do it that way too, because we don't want people gamifying it. It's not meant to be gamified, and it's not meant for us to use as a marketing lever to get people to keep on trying to buy and buy and buy. So the tiers are set up so that they're random, they're in different places, and no one knows what they're going to get. And then also too, like, depending on, you know, when we send stuff out, you know, tier six might get a bow this month. Tier six next year might get like a rifle. Like, we don't know. Like, when we give away big prizes, you know, big stuff like that. And in the end, like, I think that's like the idea is like the whole time we started MKC, it was like, how would we want to be treated? You know, because we were massive fans of these big brands in the hunting industry, and they wouldn't even reply to our stories. Like, and we, you know, we're spending thousands of dollars on their camo and like all that stuff. So it's like, how do we just make sure that we're always responding to our customers? How are we always sharing their stories, their successes? And like, how do we like make sure that the touch points with MKC continue after they buy, not before they buy?
Tell me about that secret Facebook group.
Yeah. So this is completely set up organically. I can't take any credit for it. We have a couple MKC super fans. I believe the page is up over like 6,000 or 7,000 people right now. And they buy, sell, trade MKC knives. I mean, I cannot believe the rate of engagement in that Facebook group. If you go in there, I mean, there's almost a new post every 3 or 4 minutes, 24 Whoa. Hours a day. It is super engaging. And Josh and I, they did make us admins, but we don't touch posts. We don't manipulate posts. We want this to stay as organic as possible. We're just in there to answer questions, answer customer service issues. And then, you know, obviously, like, I like to go and then reward those guys. So like, I'll give them, like, they'll be the first people to know about, you know, new knives, or, you know, if there's ever like a secret batch of knives on the website, I usually go in there like, hey guys, just heads up, I'm gonna go check out this URL, or throw something cryptic in there. And, but like, it's called the MKC User Society. You know, and I even put some time and I branded it for them. We have a t-shirt you can buy on our website if you're a member of that Facebook group, but it's all for those guys. Like I said, it that's all set up by our fans.
And you mentioned stuff they can buy on your website. It's a Shopify store, of course. Uh-huh. Has MKC been on Shopify for the full run?
Yes, that is so. Like I said, with me doing e-commerce for, you know, almost 20 years, you know, I was on every single platform, depending on what the client was. So, you know, WordPress and Magento, and there's some other weird ones I got thrown on. Shopify was just the clear answer. And it's not even to sound like a Shopify commercial, but it's just like, there's not even another option right now for what we're doing, especially when you're 100% direct to consumer. It's just the best fit.
Are there any apps, features, tools in Shopify that like you just can't live without? These are your favorites. These are your go-tos.
Oh, absolutely. So right now what's working really well for us is Rebuy. Like that is just, I say that's one of our best employees is the Rebuy app, because it just works all day long, 24 hours a day. So the Rebuy app is doing absolutely amazing. You know, we've had a lot of success with retention.com, that app. It's crazy because you talk to some people and they're like, it's not working. And then for us, like that's one of our like best producing apps, you know, almost to the point, you know. And then we also stacked Black Crow on top of retention. So we're kind of doubling the same.
Yeah, they app. Do Black Crow and retention do similar things, right?
Yeah, they do very similar things, but there are some deviating points on how they, you know, help, you know, manage data and stuff like that. So, you know, for us, it's actually makes sense to run both. I wouldn't recommend that. It took a lot of customization and, you know, flow segmenting and like stuff like that to make sure it runs smoothly. But, like to us, like, you know, new customers are, is all that we care about. So any way that we can get, you know, get them to sign up for an email or be able to like tell them our story better than just like hearing it from a friend, like that's like, we're going to invest as much as we can into that.
Hey, aren't you forgetting something? If you're not using one-click upsell, you're leaving 10 to 15% of your total Shopify revenue on the table. One-click upsell is the number one upsell app for over 15,000 Shopify stores. Listen to these brands: Tushy, Dr. Squatch, Buffy and Victoria Beckham, and guess what? It's already made sellers just like you an extra $750 million in upsell revenue. With one-click upsell, you can add AI-powered upsell funnels to every product on your store, including upsells on your product pages, shopping cart, checkout, and thank you page, even on the shop app. So you increase your average order value automatically, and getting started is a breeze. You can install the app, launch your first upsell, and start making 10 to 15% more cash from every customer beginning on day one, as in today. Don't leave behind another dollar in free upsell revenue. Go to zipify.com/Kurt. and try one-click upsell free for 30 days. That's zipify.com/KURT. You have these drop, or these product drops weekly. You're sending a lot of people to the site, and potentially you're sending them all at once, and they're all trying to buy. Everybody's trying to rush through the door. That's a fear for some merchants. It's like, well, if I have that level of success, will the site stay up? Has this ever been an issue where the site like it couldn't handle the traffic?
No. Shopify, I mean, like I said, like we're doing, you know, like I said, we always try to like avoid how many orders we're doing, because we always have this saying in Montana that it's rude to ask a rancher how many head of cattle he has, and it's also rude to ask a farmer how many acres he farms. But like, you know, like our site is getting flooded every single Thursday night. I mean, there's, you know, thousands and thousands of people hitting that at one time. That Shopify site never shudders for that. And like you can see that over the weekend, you know, Kanye West just did what, $2.3 million in the first couple hours of his drop. And I believe he's on a Shopify site. So I don't think there's like I said, if Kanye is fine, I think MKC is going to do okay.
Is that our marketing role model? We're going to go with what he does.
I mean, for volume, he has been. But like I said, like just volume wise, I can guess by that volume how many people actually want to visit his site. And I was like I said, if he's fine, he's doing pretty good. But I will say, but there are, you know, for people that are doing this, like there are headaches to this style of marketing, especially if you, and I say not even style marketing, this is our only way to doing business, because like we don't have another option. We can't do pre-orders, and if we just slowly just and so that's the thing too, so if we do pre-orders, we can only take a pre-order for as many knives as we're going to sell, be able to sell them. So it's either the pre-order sells out instantly or the actual knives sell out instantly, and we're able to ship them the next day within 24 hours. I rather take their money and then ship their package literally like 8 hours later. That to me is a much better customer experience. But when you do send that many people to your website and you only have, you know, a couple thousand knives, there are going to be people who are not going to be able to get your knife, or they're going to land on your website after they're sold out. You know, because that's the thing with Shopify, is that, you know, it's their system is set up so that if you put the knife in the cart, you go through checkout, and if that knife sells out before you finish your credit card information, it pulls it out of your cart and tells you you can't finish your order. So that causes a lot of disgruntled, you know, customers. But that's also why we double down on our customer service. You know, we have a couple of the best customer service people to help handle those nights. And they all have to be online at 7 o'clock every single drop to help mediate some of the chaos.
Well, all right. So one of the things that's just about MKC is, you know, for people who aren't into knives, they may think like, oh, you know, knives, pocket knives, it's just, you know, it's just dudes is the audience. And the reality is that within knives, you could really break that up even more, right? Like hunting knife is different than like a tool or utility knife, different than cutlery, etc. And like based on MKC's branding, your posts, your interests, it's very much hunting focused. Does that represent in your head opportunity or liability that you have, like, you know, this a niche within a niche?
I think it's full opportunity. You know, because like we're selling the hardest knife to sell when you go talk to any of our peers. A fixed blade hunting knife, you know, is probably their smallest, you know, any of our real peers that are, you know, in the game doing, you know, big volume and stuff like that. Like, you know, their probably smallest demo are hunters, because only 2% of the United States has a hunting, you know, tag in their pocket at any time in the year. So you take 2% of your country, like those are the people who are actually using the knife. You know, obviously like our knives are being adopted for everyday carry and stuff like that. But, you know, in the knife world, the two biggest markets are, you know, culinary, you know, for cutlery, and then pocket knives. You know, most of our, you know, peers, they're probably selling, you know, 8 pocket knives to every one fixed blade. You know, and we're growing this business, you know, just selling fixed blades right now. We do have a plan for a pocket knife, but we want to do it the way that we did with the fixed blade. Like when we confidently say like, this is the best fixed blade knife for a hunter, you could take this going on any hunt anywhere in the world, like for any duration of time. Like that's our promise. We want to make sure we're doing that with a pocket knife too. Cause a pocket knife, you know, comes with its own layer of complexities when you start adding in mechanisms that lock the knife and move and stuff like that. So, and to do it 100% in the United States, you know, and not only do we want to just do it, cause like we had the opportunity to go do some like white label stuff from like other companies. We're like, no, one thing we will always do is if it has a sharp edge on it and it's going to get made in house, we want our fingerprints on that. So that's what we're building our next facility for, is to like get into the pocket knife game.
You know, would mailing folding knives to people wipe your fingerprints off before you send it to them?
I never thought about that. Like, I think we're gonna.
That was a stupid joke. Fear. Glad that worked.
But it's funny because we're always like waiting for one of our knives to pop up on a police report. So,
oh, jeez.
Yeah.
All right. I want to talk about the future of MKC. You recently broke ground on a new facility, a 50,000 square foot facility. Tell me about it.
Yeah. So this is something we were not expecting to do this early on. So, you know, 4 years ago, we started in a 2-car garage, you know, and we had 6 or 7 employees in there. And then literally right behind that 2-car garage on Josh's property, you know, we built a 10,000 square foot, just kind of like, you know, manufacturing facility. You know, it just has some offices and a lot of open space for manufacturing. And that was supposed to be like our 5-year fix from that 2-year point. So we weren't even supposed to even talk about the next facility for at least 7 years. Literally we moved in and within months we're like, so we outgrew the space, you know, almost instantly. And right now, like even my own personal office, I just filled it full of the creative content team, the video editors, because they can at least put headphones on when I'm on meetings. So we're cramming 3-4 people in every single office. And we're just all going to get a little personal until we have our new facility built.
What is it that gave you the confidence to say, we just built this facility, now we're going to turn around and do it again?
You know, honestly, it's okay. It's the constant sell-throughs, you know, also to just knowing that we own the data. So there's I'm not relying on anybody else, and there's no niche. This isn't like a flash in the pan. There isn't like some loophole.
It's not
loophole.
A gimmick. It's not a gimmick. Aren't going away.
Yeah, they're not going away. And there's also no like, you know, like Amazon loophole attached to this, you know, this growth or something like that. This is as grassroots, as organic as it gets. And like, that's a big thing. And then also too, the one thing we take pride in is like our NPS score, our net promoter score. Like that's the one thing you can't like fake too. So, you know, a lot of brands, you know, will do this and, you know, a really good score is in the 50s. Unheard of is in the 80s. For the past 3 years, we have scored a 91 or higher. And that's for, you know, somebody who, you know, is absolutely a brand advocate for you. So all of our customers like love our brand. That's the confidence that we have to go and do this. And then also too, like you have one life, and I don't want to sound, you know, motivationally or like, you know, just hustle harder kind of feeling, but it's like we get one shot at this, you know, and it's like, it's the momentum's there to do this. But then also too, we're building a manufacturing facility. At the end of the day, if somehow knives dry up, we can turn that manufacturing facility into something else and retain those employees. And you know, like we're training all these employees on how to use the machines and stuff like that. So that's the that's the thing that people don't realize. But when you build American-made business and you own the process of manufacturing your own product, 9 times out of 10, you could probably pivot and manufacture something else. We have confidence in the MKC brand, but you know, there's also, we have confidence in us being resilient if things do change. I mean, I graduated college in 2008 when the world was collapsing. We launched this company during, So we launched this company during COVID. So, you know, I know I have enough trust in myself. I have enough trust in Josh, in our leadership team, that like, if anything happens, like, we're good. We'll figure it out.
I'm happy to hear it. And I also love, you know, you're putting your money where your mouth is. But one of the things I've heard you say before is as a brand, you need to be more excited about the product than the customer could ever be. And it's absolutely true. That is your approach here. And you could hear it and see it in your actions. Looking back, what's one thing you would have done differently?
Looking back, so this is a really good question. So one thing I wish I would have done differently is that, you know, we leaned really hard on contractors when we started this company. So let's just say for like the financial side or legal or stuff like that, like we always, when we started this company, we always worked with contractors that could handle our current size. I wish someone would have told us like, hey, it's going to cost more, but try to find like, so say for like accounting firm or, you know, a CPA or any of those like stuff that's kind of like outside the marketing world, but like go work with an agency or a contractor that is where you want to be, not where you're currently at right now. Because that definitely caused a bunch of hiccups, especially in the D2C world. You know, we're in Montana. Not a lot of our CPAs and accounting firms in the state of Montana has ever dealt with a D2C company hitting Nexus in all 50 states. Like they didn't even know what the word Nexus meant. So obviously the taxes and all that stuff is like, I wish we would have just got ahead of that better. Like it didn't bite us too bad, but it's definitely something we had to take a couple steps back and, you know, get the right systems in place.
It's good advice. And yeah, sales tax, always a headache. You want to make sure you're ahead and detailed on your taxes. It's early in 2025. What's next for MKC? What's on the horizon?
So, you know, obviously 2025 is pretty much all planned out. Like that's one thing I have to give our team credit is that we're, you know, a lot of it seems chaotic because a lot of times we don't have knives, like literally the Cam Haynes knife that we dropped last week. We didn't have a physical sample 10 days before it dropped. Like that's how close some of our manufacturing to launch dates are. But that's what makes this fun. We know the process. We just have to do the cool creative. So we have the next 52 weeks literally planned out. We know exactly what we're dropping every single Thursday. But going into 2026, this is where it starts to get real fun. Because like I said, we're going to start introducing the possibility of a folder. That folder is going to introduce, you know, many different manufacturing changes that we have to make, you know, because we go from assembly to like some major manufacturing that's very, very, precise engineering and movements and like how things get installed. So it's going to push our engineering team. It's going to push our ops team. It's going to push our hiring. It's going to push a lot of us. And then at the same time, we still have to run the fixed blade, you know, business itself at the same exact time as we're tooling up for a completely different, almost, you know, completely different business.
There is so much opportunity ahead of you. And I'm also so excited and desperate for an MKC folding knife. How cool would that be?
I know. I am too. Trust me.
That's, you know, because you're right. Of the knife market, you pick the small one, right? Like, you've got the chef knives now, but man, if I go in a big box store and you go look at their knife section, you're going to see majority folding knives. That's, you know, that's the big consumer product, right? Men often carry pocket knives. And those make good gifts too. So really, I could see where that hugely expands things. But also, you're right. I mean, the difference in complexity between folding knife and fixed blade, massive.
Right, right. And that's the difference is, you know, like, you know, someone, you know, wearing a suit to work can still have a small pocket knife in their pocket. They can't really carry a fixed blade on their hip, you know, into a bank. you know, or into the boardroom or anything like that. I mean, you can. I mean, that's total. I mean, that's a sign of grit that I've never seen before. But, you know, like you said, most like that pocket knife side of our business is going to open enough from like 2% of the United States to like, honestly, you know, 50%, you know, of every male with a pocket. And I'm not saying females won't carry them, but we just lean very heavy on the male side. So I'm not going to assume any other new demographics.
What's your advice for other Shopify merchants who are seeing your success and saying, man, I wish I had a little bit of that too?
Yeah. Invest in your website. Invest in your website more than you invest in anything else. Because at the end of the day, that is your first and last contact with most of your customers. That is one thing that we have done from day one. You know, I got to see it with previous clients, previous agencies, stuff like that. And that's one thing that, you know, we, you know, do really, really well. We invest heavily in our own content creation. So we have, you know, 3 full-time content creators. We have a full graphic designer on staff. We have an e-commerce, you know, director who handles our entire stack. But the biggest thing is what I have to tell people is like, if you can't hire for it, go find the right agency to partner with and don't go cheap on it. Like, and that's, you know, where you and I got to spend a lot of time last year together is, you know, we completely redesigned the MKC website. And what was amazing working with you guys is that, like, you know, we like hold our content so close to our chest and like we want to make sure it's our voice and all of that stuff, but we're not coders and like we're not dev people and we're not like that's not our thing. And we knew that. And like that's why we actually liked partnering with you the best is like, hey, we have some wild ideas. And you're like, oh yeah, we could do that. But you're like, hey, we need content for us. Like, we got that. We have literally a Dropbox folder of thousands of images. So that's one piece of advice I give is like invest in that website, constantly invest with that website, listen to these podcasts, listen to these ads, you know, about new apps and stuff like that. I know it sounds crazy, but like there's, you know, like if you can be one of the first people on new apps, like sometimes those app companies will actually like adopt you and help you more than most companies and, you know, try to use you as a set example of like, hey, this app works, which has happened with us a couple times. So always be testing new apps, always be investing in the website.
God, I am thrilled with that advice. And I wish we had more projects and clients like Montana Knife Company, because that is, when you can marry that energy plus the content to the, you know, our ability to create a theme, build a layout and get something very functional. But like, you know, we can't be excited about your product for you, and you have to be able to create that content for us for it to really sing. Like, we could only take it so far. And so when you compare that, I mean, you really could get an incredible result out of it. And that's why I've always been so proud of our work together with Montana Knife Company. Man, Brandon, thank you so much. All right, what's the website? Where can we go learn more?
Yeah. So, you know, MontanaKnifeCompany.com, you know, or on Instagram, you know, at Montana Knife Company. After 4 years, we finally got our blue check mark. Very proud of that moment for a knife company receiving a blue check mark. So like those are the biggest things, you know. And then, you know, also too, I just want to leave, you know, your listeners with this. You know, there's a lot of marketers who are listening to this podcast. And, you know, I grew up in the Tim Ferriss generation of the 4-hour work week and try to make it as lean as possible and minimal as possible. But if you're a really, really, really good marketer, I just ask you for one of your projects, for one of your businesses, go support American Made Company. See, like, try to work with American Made Company, you know, see how much you can build it, how many employees you can hire, or help hire and all that stuff. Like, I just want to kind of push all marketers to at least try to do that. Try not to always just chase like the biggest return, but like how much change can you make in your community, in your country, especially moving forward? Like we're gonna need that more often, I think.
I agree. Brandon, you're the best. Yeah. Thank you so much. Brandon, Montana Knife Company, thank you.
Awesome, Kurt. I appreciate it.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, You'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.